Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Getting It Done with your host, Dr. Walter Dean. Often and probably more than often, for the last 4 weeks, maybe a month now, we've been doing some review of various artists and people talking about race. And I thought we needed to take a break from that for a while and try something different for the audience so you can get a different perspective. Today we're going to be talking about a comedic genius. We will be looking at and listening to works of George Carlin, who is considered by many as a comedian genius. His ability to articulate large similarities of stupid and unnecessary issues was one of his key performing signatures. What made him so great was his ability to have total recall of all the things that he considered to be an issue that he was having people take in and listen to and enjoy. However, most people didn't really understand that this man was dead serious. Let's listen to this great man who's no longer with us, but his works are, who will be telling you like it is, like it was, and like it could be in the future. Here's George Collins. Well, I thought I had him, but evidently I didn't. Push wrong buttons. Sometimes wrong buttons give you wrong results. Here he is. Oh, there he goes again. I don't know why that keeps happening to me. You see, if you function with a piece of equipment that is not good, that's what happens. Let's listen to it.
Euphemisms or euphemistic language. And American English is loaded with euphemisms because Americans have a lot of trouble dealing with reality. Americans have trouble facing the truth. So they invent a kind of a soft language to protect themselves from it. And it gets worse with every generation. For some reason, it just keeps getting worse. I'll give you an example of that. There's a condition in combat. Most people know about it. It's when a fighting person's nervous system has been stressed to its absolute peak and maximum, can't take any more input. The nervous system has either snapped or is about to snap. In the First World War, that condition was called shell shock. Simple, honest, direct language, two syllables, shell shock. Almost sounds like the guns themselves. That was 70 years ago. Then a whole generation went by, and the Second World War came along, and the very same combat condition was called battle fatigue. Four syllables now. Takes a little longer to say. Doesn't seem to hurt as much. Fatigue is a nicer word than shock. Show shock. Battle fatigue. Then we had the war in Korea in 1950. Madison Avenue was riding high by that time. And the very same combat condition was called operational exhaustion. Hey, we're up to eight syllables now. And the humanity has been squeezed completely out of the phrase. It's totally sterile now. Operational exhaustion. Sounds like something that might happen to your car. Then, of course, came the war in Vietnam, which has only been over for about 16 or 17 years. And thanks to the lies and deceit surrounding that war, I guess it's no surprise that the very same condition was called post-traumatic stress disorder. Still eight syllables, but we've added a hyphen. And the pain is completely buried under jargon. Post-traumatic stress disorder. I'll bet you if we'd have still been calling it shell shock, some of those Vietnam veterans might have gotten the attention they needed at the time. But but it didn't happen. And one of the reasons is because we were using that soft language, that language that takes the life out of life. And it is a function of time. It does keep getting worse. Give another example. Sometime during my life, toilet paper became bathroom tissue. I wasn't notified of this. No one asked me if I agreed with it. It just happened. Toilet paper became bathroom tissue. Sneakers became running shoes. False teeth became dental appliances. Medicine became medication. Information became directory assistance. The dump became the landfill. Car crashes became automobile accidents. Partly cloudy became partly sunny. Motels became motor lodges. House trailers became mobile homes. Used cars became previously owned transportation. Room service became guest room dining. And constipation became occasional irregularity. When I was a little kid, if I got sick, they wanted me to go to the hospital and see the doctor. Now they want me to go to a health maintenance organization or a wellness center to consult a healthcare delivery professional. Poor people used to live in slums. Now the economically disadvantaged occupy substandard housing in the inner cities. And they're broke. They're broke. They don't have a negative cash flow position. They're fucking broke. Because a lot of them were fired. You know, fired. Management wanted to curtail redundancies in the human resources area. So many people are no longer viable members of the workforce. Smug, greedy, well-fed white people have invented a language to conceal their sins. It's as simple as that. The CIA doesn't kill anybody anymore. They neutralize people. Or they depopulate the area. The government doesn't lie. It engages in disinformation. The Pentagon actually measures nuclear radiation in something they call sunshine units. Israeli murderers are called commandos. Arab commandos are called terrorists. Contra killers are called freedom fighters. Well, if crime fighters fight crime and firefighters fight fire, what do freedom fighters fight? They never mention that part of it to us, do they? Never mention that part of it. And some of this stuff is just silly. We all know that. Like on the airlines, they say they want a pre-board. Well, what the hell is pre-board? What does that mean? To get on before you get on? They say they're going to pre-board those passengers in need of special assistance. Cripples! Simple, honest, direct language. There's no shame attached to the word cripple that I can find in any dictionary. No shame attached to it. In fact, it's a word used in Bible translations. Jesus healed the cripples. Doesn't take seven words to describe that condition. But we don't have any cripples in this country anymore. We have the physically challenged. Is that a grotesque enough evasion for you? How about differently abled? I've heard them call that differently abled. You can't even call these people handicapped anymore. They'll say, we're not handicapped. We're handicapable. These poor people have been bullshitted by the system into believing that if you change the name of the condition, somehow you'll change the condition. Well, hey, cousin, doesn't happen. Doesn't happen. We have no more deaf people in this country, hearing impaired. No one's blind anymore, partially sighted or visually impaired. We have no more stupid people. Everybody has a learning disorder. Or he's minimally exceptional. How would you like to be told that about your child? He's minimally exceptional. Well, thank God for that. Psychologists actually have started calling ugly people those with severe appearance deficits. It's getting so bad that any day now I expect to hear a rape victim referred to as an unwilling sperm recipient. And we have no more old people in this country. No more old people. We shipped them all away, and we brought in these senior citizens. Isn't that a typically American 20th century phrase? bloodless, lifeless. No pulse in one of them. A senior citizen. But I've accepted that when I've come to terms with it. I know it's here to stay. We'll never get rid of it. That's what they're going to be called, so I'll relax on that. But the one I do resist, the one I keep resisting, is when they look at an old guy and they say, look at him, Dan. He's 90 years young. Imagine the fear of aging that reveals. To not even be able to use the word old to describe someone, to have to use an antonym. And fear of aging is natural, it's universal, isn't it? We all have that. No one wants to get old. No one wants to die, but we do. So we bullshit ourselves. I started bullshitting myself when I got to my 40s. Soon as I was in my 40s, I'd look in the mirror and I'd say, well, I guess I'm getting older. Older sounds a little better than old, doesn't it? Sounds like it might even last a little longer. Well, shit, I'm getting old. And it's okay, because thanks to our fear of death in this country, I won't have to die. I'll pass away. Or I'll expire like a magazine subscription. If it happens in the hospital, they'll call it a terminal episode. The insurance company will refer to it as negative patient care outcome. And if it's the result of malpractice, they'll say it was a therapeutic misadventure. I'm telling you, some of this language makes me want to vomit. Well, maybe not vomit. Makes me want to engage in an involuntary personal protein spill. Thank you all. I don't like words that hide the truth. I don't like words that conceal reality.
I had the occasion this past Saturday to sit down with some of my daughter's friends. We all sat down and we listened to this as I prepared for the show. And we just laughed so hard. Not at this particular one, but at one of the other ones that he did. The man was purely, clearly a genius. How he can actually tie things together like that. It takes somebody with a lot of patience to do the research necessary to be able to put all of it together. And then recall it. He had the ability to recall just about everything he wanted to say, which made him to be really a genius. That's what amounted to being a genius, very similar to a Mozart or a Beethoven with their abilities to recall. I'd like to tell you about a friend of mine named Paul Willis, who is, I think, very, very close to being a genius, if not one. He has his hands in a lot of different things. He writes poetry. He creates coloring books for children. And at the same time, he also has put together a number of musical activities, plays the guitar and drums. Guy has a lot of ability. You might want to get in touch with him for his poetry book that covers just the waterfront of all kinds of activities and life itself. And the disc that he created, and yours truly sings on it. And you can contact him. I will give you all that information at the end of the show. But I just wanted to mention it now so I don't forget to tell you about it. But let's go on and hear some more George Collins. The funniest George Collins bit ever. Listen.
Constantly slicing the ball can really take the fun out of the game. You start to doubt yourself before you even step up to the ball. So I say there are little things you can do to help keep other people on their toes. Did you ever try backing out of a drive-in bank? That's the kind of thing I mean. But just walk up to someone in the street and say, pardon me, I have nothing to say. Someone asks you what time it is? Say, well,
It's either 6:15 or Mickey has a hard on. Now, many of these suggestions which I'm offering are intended for use on retail clerks, because retail clerks seem to need special help. Do you ever go into a store and realize immediately that the clerk is running on a lean mixture? The cheese fell off his cracker a long time ago. He's just a couple of sandwiches short of a picnic. Here's one to try. Go into a gift shop and ask for your gift. Well, they never seem to have mine. I say, I saw your sign, I came in for my gift. Save you the trouble of looking all over for me. Doesn't impress them, but it keeps them on their goddamn toes. Or else just go running into any quiet little store on a Sunday morning and say, are you open on Thursday? They'll say yes, say thank you! And run! Let them figure it out. It's not your concern. Stand on line at the bank for a really long time. One of those new kind of lines they have at the bank. The common theater line. Used to be every teller had his own line. Not anymore. Now you think you're in fucking Disneyland. Stand on line a long time. When you finally get up to the window, just ask for change of a nickel. They actually call other tellers over to look at you. Here's one. Go into the photographer's studio in your neighborhood and ask the man if you can buy the pictures of the other people. So how much for that heavy-set couple in the window? Oh, they will stare at you a long time on that one. In fact, they might even back up several feet. This one is my current favorite. Go into the dry cleaners and ask the man if he can remove the stains from one pair of pants and put them in another pair of pants. They ought to be able to do that for the same amount of money. While you're in there, ask him if he can get pecker tracks off a wedding gown. That's the test of a really quality dry cleaner. Go into the laundry, hand him your shirt, and tell him to rotate the buttons. Go to a gun store, buy a gun, and buy some ammunition. Then ask him if they have any ski masks. All right, no, please, You're into a supermarket. This is a big one for the supermarket. Get your shopping cart in the supermarket and fill it to the top. I mean a huge mound of groceries. And then go up to the line and look for somebody with one item and ask him if you can get ahead of him. Do you mind? I'm in a hurry. I only have 1,100 items. Run into a bakery and say, can you bake a cake in the shape of a penis? They never know. They always have to have a meeting. Well, I don't know. Wait a minute now. Hold on just a second. Can we have a picture to go by?
Well, no, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do for you, Lee.
Helen! Order more flour, Helen! Next time you're at a wishing well, doesn't happen often, next time you're at a wishing well, ask to see the manager. Tell him you're coming there for 10 years and none of your wishes have come true. Either you give me my money back or I'm shitting in the well. Here's one for the baseball park. Baseball park. You ever notice at the ball game a lot of guys bring a glove? Fuck that. Bring a bat. You see a foul ball coming? Hit it back to them. Hit it back to them. Yeah. Then stand up and wave at the pitcher. Yeah, yeah. They'll think you're a fun fan. They'll think it's straitjacket night. You ever notice in some hotels they give you a little sewing kit? You know what I do? I sew the towels together. Sew the sheets to the drapes. Let them know you've been there.
Are you tired of the media spinning the truth and pushing false narratives? Well, take a look at this. Over the last 3 years,
here's one for the guys. This one is strictly for the guys. Go into a barber shop. Tell the man you want to get your pubic hair streaked. Say, nothing fancy, just frost my bush. They'll be talking about you for years. The man who had his bush hair sectioned off with aluminum foil. As they try to find a way to fit you under a dryer. You'll be in the Bush Hall of Fame. Here's a good one in the bar, when you're drinking in the bar. You ever notice in the bar someone always says to you, hey, can I buy you a drink? Say, no thanks, but can I have the money instead? Tell them you're saving up to buy your own goddamn bar. Now, there's one more area of daily life which lends itself to keeping people alert, and that is when you're driving. Certainly, you'd agree, anyone behind the wheel of a car has lots of opportunities to keep people on their toes. I don't mean just blowing some guy's head off because he cut you off at the red light or something. I'm talking about subtle things, like putting your car in low gear and following pedestrians into the mall. There's been a lot of talk, as you know, about this violence on the highways, people shooting each other from their cars. I don't believe too much in that sort of an overt violence. I like kind of a preventive violence in my car. You know what I have? In the rear window of my car, I have one of those diamond-shaped yellow signs that says, Armed Pit Bull with AIDS on board.
And I tell you, even the jack-offs are leaving me alone. Isn't it some fun in the car driving along? Somebody's driving along next to you in the next lane over there, and you say, pull over, pull over, pull over, pull over. He pulls over, you keep going. Let him park a while and think it over. Hey, it's certainly none of your concern. In fact, you don't want to have anything to do with an asshole like that. That man is liable to kill someone. Here's another little practical joke for the driver. When you're going through the toll booth, well, not actually through the booth itself. Shit, that would be a big practical joke. I mean when you're going through the little space in between the booths. When you get up there and the guy sticks out his hand, bargain with him. Try to get yourself a better deal. Tell him you heard it was free Chevrolet day. Tell him it's a used road and you're looking for a discount. Tell him you got no more money, you spent it all on pussy and beer. That'll wake him up, especially if you're a woman.
I thought that because we are experiencing so much sadness right now in terms of this disease that's out there, and the people in the whole country are experiencing deaths all over the place. And then, of course, we have police acting like a bunch of fools, killing black people by leaning a knee on a person's neck so they can't breathe. I thought it might be interesting to just, for once, have some fun listening to some jokes. Or listening to some things that would allow us the opportunity to laugh. I don't know if you laughed through that, but I did. You may not have heard me, but I laughed. We're going to continue on with George Collins, but before we do, I'd like for I got something and it said here. It says George Collins is definitely one of my top favorite comedians of all time. The guy was a comedic genius. So we're going to go on and listen to something else he did. This is called Advertising and Bullshit.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. And Joshua, I call this piece advertising.
Quality, value, style, service, selection, convenience, economy, savings, performance, experience, hospitality, low rates, friendly service, name brands, easy terms, affordable prices, money-back guarantee, free installation, free admission, free appraisal, free alterations, free delivery, free estimates, free home trial, and free parking. No cash, no problem. No kidding. No fuss, no muss, no risk, no obligation, no red tape, no hidden charges, no down payment, no entry fee, no purchase necessary, no one will call on you, no payments or interest till December, and no parking. Limited time only though, so act now, order today, send no money, offer good while supplies last, two to a customer, each item sold separately, batteries not included, mileage may vary. All sales are final, allow 6 weeks for delivery, some items not available, some assembly required. Some restrictions may apply. Shop by mail, order by phone. Try it in your home. Get one for your car. All entries become our property. Employees not eligible. Entry fees not refundable. Local restrictions apply. Void where prohibited, except in Indiana. come on in. Come on in for a free demonstration and a free consultation with our friendly, professional staff. Our courteous and knowledgeable sales representatives will help you make a selection that's just right for you and just right for your budget. And say, don't forget to pick up your free gift. A classic deluxe custom designer luxury prestige high quality premium select gourmet pocket flashlight. And if you act now, we'll include an extra added free complimentary bonus gift, a classic deluxe custom designer luxury prestige high-quality premium select gourmet leather-style wallet with detachable keychain and a pencil holder. It's our way of saying thank you. And if you're not completely satisfied, you pay nothing, simply return the unused portion for a full refund, no questions asked. It's our way of saying thank you. Keep your free gift. Actually, it's our way of saying, bend over just a little further and let us stick this big dick into your ass a little bit deeper. You know, whenever you're exposed to advertising in this country, you realize all over again that America's leading industry is still the manufacture, distribution, packaging, and marketing of bullshit. High-quality bullshit. World-class designer bullshit, to be sure. Hospital-tested, clinically proven bullshit. But bullshit nonetheless. And it always amuses me that so many people seem to think that bullshit only comes from certain sources. You know, advertising, politicians, salesmen. Not true. Bullshit is everywhere. Bullshit is rampant. Parents are full of shit. Teachers are full of shit. Clergymen are full of shit. Law enforcement people are full of shit. The entire country is completely full of shit. In fact, this country was founded by a group of slave owners who told us that all men are created equal. That is what's known as being stunningly full of shit. And you know, I think people show their ignorance when they say they want politicians to be honest. What are these people talking about? If honesty was suddenly introduced into politics, it would throw everything off. The whole system would collapse. And I think deep down the American people know that. The American people like their bullshit out front when they can get a good, strong whiff of it. That's why they re-elected Clinton. Listen. Clinton might be full of shit, but he lets you know it. Dole tried to hide it.
I'm an honest man.
Bullshit. Bullshit. People don't believe that shit. Clinton said, hi, I'm full of shit, and how do you like that? And the people said, at least he's honest. At least he's honest about being full of shit. It's like the business world. All businessmen are completely full of shit. Just the worst kind of people you ever want to run into. Businessmen. And the proof of it is, they don't even trust each other. They don't trust each other. When a businessman is negotiating a deal, the first thing he does is to automatically assume that the other guy is a complete lying prick who's trying to fuck him on the deal. So he has to do everything he can to fuck the other guy a little bit harder and a little bit faster. And then, when it comes to dealing with customers, that's when you get the big smile. That's when you get the big smile. Businessman always has that big smile on his face as he carefully positions himself directly behind the customer and unzips his pants and services the account. We specialize in customer service. You heard that? Now you know what it means. Whoever coined the phrase, let the buyer beware, was probably bleeding from the asshole. Then you have advertising. Advertising is the businessman's cheaply dressed $2 blowjob. advertising themselves are things you don't need and can't afford that are overpriced and don't work. And they do it by exploiting your fears and insecurities. And if you don't have any, they'll be glad to give you a few by showing you a nice picture of a woman with big tits. That's the essence of advertising. Big tits. Threateningly big tits. And speaking of big tits, what about show business? Show business, completely dishonest, corrupt, and full of shit, but in a nice way. Plenty of expensive drugs and perverted sex. If you're going to be full of shit, might as well enjoy your work. Then you have the media. Not just the news media, let's include them all. The media are almost literally exploding with bullshit because they're located right at the crossroads to all the other bullshit. The media are made up of equal parts advertising, politics, business, public relations, and show business. These people are sitting right at bullshit junction. There's enough bullshit in the media for Texas to open a branch office. And you still have enough left over to start two law firms and a Christian bookstore. Because, folks, I gotta tell you, when it comes to bullshit, truly major league bullshit, you have to stand back in awe of the all-time heavyweight champion of false promises and exaggerated claims, religion. Organized religion. It's no contest. Religion easily has the best bullshit story of all time. Think about it. Religion has convinced people that there's an invisible man living in the sky who watches everything you do every minute of every day. And the invisible man has a list of 10 specific things he doesn't want you to do. And if you do any of these things, he will send you to a special place of burning and fire and smoke and torture and anguish for you to live forever and suffer and burn and scream until the end of time. But he loves you. He loves you. He loves you and he needs money. He always needs money. He's all powerful, all present, all knowing, and all wise. Just can't handle money. Religion takes in billions and billions of dollars. They pay no taxes, and somehow they always need money. You talk about a good bullshit story. If I may be permitted a small pun, holy shit. Holy shit.
Once again, we had an opportunity to experience the great George Collins give a presentation, and in it, see what's the key here is he's so smart and so intelligent on how he puts things together, all of which he says shows how the dichotomy of issues in our society are faulty, and he does a fantastic job of making sure all of us laugh at it, but know it's for real. Let me get back to this Paul Willis's band and this CD called Hearts Shine. If you're really interested in that particular disc, which is $15, contact pcwilusc@gmail.com and give him your phone number or your email address. I will repeat that again, but that's about the disc, but I will repeat it again when we get to talk about a couple of the other items that he has for sale. Now we're going to go on to George Collins on students and parent phone.
another pack of low-grade morons who ought to be locked into portable toilets and set on fire. These people with bumper stickers that say, "We are the proud parents of an honor student at the Franklin School." Or the Meadville Academy, or whatever other innocent-sounding name has been assigned to the indoctrination center where their child has been sent to be stripped of his individuality and turned into an obedient, soul-dead, conformist member of the American consumer culture. Proud parents, what kind of empty people need to validate themselves through the achievements of their children? How's it like that to live with a couple of these misfits? How's that science project coming along, Justin? Fuck you, Dad. You simple-minded prick. Mind your own business and pass the Cheerios. Here's a bumper sticker I'd like to see. We are the proud parents of a child whose self-esteem is sufficient that he doesn't need us promoting his minor scholastic achievements on the back of our car. Or, we are the proud parents of a child who has resisted his teacher's attempts to break his spirit and bend him to the will of his corporate masters. Just an idea for change, you know? Here's something realistic. We have a daughter in public school who hasn't been knocked up yet. We have a son in public school who hasn't shot any of his classmates yet. But he does sell drugs to your honor students. Plus, he knocked up your daughter. Then there are the people who aren't too proud of their children. We are the embarrassed parents of a cross-eyed little nitwit who at the age of 10 not only continues to wet the bed, but also shits on the school bus. Something like that on the back of the car might give the child a little more incentive, you know? Get him to try a little harder next semester. Here are some more parents who ought to be beaten with heavy clubs and left bleeding in the moonlight. These are the ones who carry their babies around in these backpacks or front packs or slings or whatever these devices are called that are apparently designed to leave the parents' hands free to sort through high-end merchandise and reach for their platinum credit card. Because it's always these upscale, yuppie-looking, Greenpeace, environmentally conscious assholes who have money, you know?
I say, hey, Mr. and Mrs. Natural Fiber.
I say, hey, Mr. and Mrs. Natural Fibers. It's not camping equipment. It's a baby. Touch the little prick now and then. They'll thank you for it someday. These are the same people who sort their garbage, jog with their dogs, and listen to Steely Dan. You just have to take them out deep into the forest and disembowel them with a wooden cooking spoon. There are some more people who ought to be smashed across the face repeatedly with a piece of heavy mining equipment. These grown men who refer to their fathers as my daddy. Not that. We hear a lot of this stupid shit in the South. These rebel assholes, you know. My daddy. Well, you know what my daddy used to say? My daddy used to say, blah, 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 blah. Oh, he did. Did he? Well, wasn't that fucking enlightening? My daddy used to say, fuck your daddy. Fuck your daddy. In his wrinkled, rusted, rural, country asshole. Grow up, Billy Joe Carl Bob Danny Frank. You're not six anymore. More like nine. Here's another unfortunate pack of mutants who ought to be penciled in for a sudden visit from the angel of death. These guys who can't tell you about a phone call they had without giving you this shit. The fucking pinky on the thumb. Like they attended mime college. Studied under Marcel Marceau. So I call up, you know, and I'm talking to her, and she fucking hangs up on me, so I hang up on her, and she calls me back, I fucking hang up again, I say, hey, Bruno, thanks for the visual aid, but we all understand the concept of the telephone, You hold it in your hand, you talk into it. Excuse me, Bruno, incoming call. Oh, hey, it's for you. There's not a bunch of pus-headed telephone cretins. These self-important techno dicks who walk around with these hands-free telephone headsets and earpieces. Mr. Self-Important doesn't want to be too far from the phone in case Henry Kissinger calls. Got the Dalai Lama on line two. I say, hey, spaceman. As long as your hands are free, reach over here and fondle my balls, would you? And answering machines. Starting with, these people think it's cute to let their children record the outgoing message. You know? And you can't understand a word of it because the kid's a fucking imbecile.
I'm in space. I'm 5 years old. My mommy and daddy aren't home. But I was a man.
Here's my message, Stacy. I'm coming over to your house with a big knife. And I'm going to kill Mommy and Daddy. Then I'm going to peel off their skin and make a funny hat. After that, I'm going to take out my huge ding-dong and stick it right in your... These are the same parents who at Christmas time send you pictures of their children. Pictures you didn't ask for, and you don't want it. Well, it is fun throwing the pictures away, isn't it? I don't even look at the fucking Christmas card. Here's this. Luann is 12 this year. Fuck Luann. I give a shit how old she is. Does she have any tits yet? Send me a picture of Luann's tits. Then I know I'm going to have a happy new year, too. Then, just to compound your holiday pleasure, they enclose a family newsletter. Just what you're hoping for. News about people you can barely fucking remember. We're so proud of Brad, he's been accepted into dental school. Yeah, in the Philippines. After four tries. Fuck Brad and everybody who looks like Brad. Judging from his picture, I think he's jerking off too much. Keep him away from Luann. Here's another bunch of genetic defectives who've been turned loose on answering machines. These guys who cannot resist the urge to put music on their outgoing message. You know, some guy spends $8 at Radio Shack and suddenly he's a fucking record producer. And because he's busy in the basement jacking off his dog, I have to listen to substandard music. And it's always rotten music, you know? It's either New Age, that pointless, meandering zombie noise played by pseudo-spiritual lunatics who think wind chimes are a musical instrument. Or else it's soft rock, that lame-ass, weak, non-threatening, suburban white boy junk played by bands like Men Without Testicles. Oh, and folks, on these answering machines, do me a favor, would you please? When you record your outgoing message, don't bother telling me you can't come to the phone. I understand that. Apparently, that's why we have these machines. And don't tell me to leave my name and number. Somehow, I figured that out. And if you work in an office, never mind that stuff, I'm away from my desk. If you had to take a shit, say so. Just say, hi, this is Mary Louise. I had the Mexican jalapeno bean chili dip. And I washed it down with a gallon of gin. I'll be in and out all day. There are some more people who ought to be strapped into chairs and beaten with hammers. People who wear visors. Let me ask you something. What the fuck is the point in wearing half a hat? Either get a hat or don't. No one's interested in the top of your head. Go back to the store and tell them to give you the rest of the hat. They cheated you. Better still, get yourself one of the new Jewish hats and sew it to your visor. Then you got yourself a full-fledged fucking hat, my friend. Here are some more musical vermin whose mothers we wish had had medical plans that included abortion. These singers who think they're so special, they only need one name. Bono, Sting, Jewel, Tiffany, Prince, what a crock of shit. Get a fucking last name, would you please? I got a nice two-word name for you, pretentious cocksucker. How do you like that? Bono, Sting, it's not bad enough the music sucks, but with no last name, you can't find out where they live to throw a fucking bomb through their window. Trust me. Here are some more people who deserve an inoperable tumor at the base of their spines. These guys who fly around the world in a fucking balloon. What is this, 1850? Get a fucking airline ticket, will you please? When are the media going to realize no one's interested in some rich trouser stain who's so bored he's got a flyer on the balloon all day? I hope the next guy gets hit by lightning. It flies around in a little fart circle. And lands in a sewage treatment pond and sinks with the rest of the turds.
Mr. Lighter Than Air.
There's another pack of jack-offs who ought to be strangled in front of their children. People who pay for inexpensive items with a credit card. You know, folks, take my word for this. Raisinets is not a major purchase. Get some fucking cash together. No one should be paying the bank 18% interest on Tic Tacs. You're holding up a fucking line, too. Some dorky-looking prick with a fanny pack waiting to be approved for a bag of cheese doodles. I need this like I need an infected scrotum. Get some fucking money. Next guy ahead of me online pays for Newsweek with a credit card. He's getting stabbed in the eyes. And I'm getting really sick of guys named Todd. You know, it's just a goofy fucking name, okay? Hi, what's your name?
Todd. I'm Todd. And this is Blake and Blair and Blaine and Brent.
Where are all these goofy fucking boys' names coming from? Taylor, Tyler, Jordan, Flynn. These are not real names. You want to hear a real name? Eddie. Eddie is a real name. Whatever happened to Eddie? He was here a minute ago. Joey and Jackie and Johnny and Phil, Bobby and Tommy and Danny and Bill. What happened?
Todd and Cody and Dylan and Cameron and Tucker. Hi, Tucker. I'm Todd.
Hi, Todd. I'm Tucker.
Fuck Tucker. Tucker sucks. And fuck Tucker's friend, Carl. Yeah. Here's another soft name for a boy, Carl. Soft names make soft people. I'll bet you anything that 10 times out of 10, Mickey, Vinny, and Tony will beat the shit out of Todd, Kyle, and Tucker.
You have been listening to George Collin. This one was called George Collin on Students and Parents and Phone Calls. I don't know how he was able to put together such a clearly defined aspect of the show. I mean, he had the ability to do that.
We have a little bit of time left, and I still want to do one more of his. Life is worth losing, dumb Americans. And that's one they did. It's about 10 minutes long. I think that would just about do it for us. Let's see what time it is now. I can't see. Okay. See, it says we have about 5 minutes. Well, I don't have anything for 5 minutes. Let's do the death penalty. Let's try that one.
The same way we made up the death penalty. We made them both up, sanctity of life and the death penalty. Reversible. And you know, in this country now, there are a lot of people who want to expand the death penalty to include drug dealers. This is really stupid. Drug dealers aren't afraid to die. They're already killing each other every day on the streets by the hundreds. Drive-bys, gang shootings, they're not afraid to die. Death penalty doesn't mean anything unless you use it on people who are afraid to die. Like the bankers who launder the drug money. Forget the dealers. You want to slow down that drug traffic, you got to start executing a few of these fucking bankers. White, middle-class, Republican bankers. And I'm not talking about soft American executions like lethal injection. I'm talking about fucking crucifixion, folks. Let's bring back crucifixions, a form of capital punishment that Christians and Jews of America can really appreciate. And I'd go a little further. I'd crucify people upside down. Like St. Peter, feet up, head down, and naked. I'd have naked upside down crucifixions on TV once a week at halftime of the Monday night football game. The Monday night crucifixions. You'd have people tuning in, don't even care about football. Wouldn't you like to hear Dan Dierdorf explain why the nails have to go in at a certain angle? And I'll guarantee you one thing. You start executing, you start nailing one white banker per week to a big wooden cross on national TV, you're going to see that drug traffic begin to slow down pretty fucking quick. Pretty fucking quick. You won't even be able to buy drugs in schools and prisons anymore. Now, I don't care about capital punishment one way or another, because I know it doesn't do anything. It doesn't do anything, except maybe satisfy a kind of biblical need for revenge. You know, if you read the Bible, you see that it's full of retribution and revenge. So really, capital punishment is kind of a religious ritual. It's a purification rite. It's a modern sacrament. And as long as that's true, I say, let's liven it up a little. I honestly believe if you make the death penalty a little more entertaining and learn to market it correctly, you just might be able to raise enough money to balance the stupid fucking budget. The stupid fucking... And don't forget, the polls show the American people want capital punishment and they want a balanced budget. I think even in a fake democracy, people ought to get what they want once in a while just to feed this illusion that they're really in charge. Let's use capital punishment the same way we use sports and television in this country to distract people and take their minds off how bad they're being fucked by the upper 1%. Now, unfortunately, Monday Night Football doesn't last long enough. What we really need is year-round capital punishment on TV every night with sponsors. Gotta have sponsors. I'm sure as long as we're killing people, Marlboro Cigarettes and Dow Chemical will be proud to participate. Balance this stupid fucking budget. And let me say this to you, my interesting Judeo-Christian friends. Not only do I recommend crucifixions, I'd be in favor of bringing back beheadings. Beheadings on TV, slow motion, instant replay. And maybe we could let the heads roll down a little hill and fall into one of five numbered holes. Let the people at home gamble on which hole the head is going to fall into. And you do it in a stadium so the mob can gamble on it too.
raise a little more money, and you want to expand the violence a little longer to sell a few more commercials, instead of using an axe, you do the beheadings with a handsaw. Hey, don't bail out on me now, goddammit. The blood is already on our hands. All we're talking about is you want something a little more delicate, we'll do the beheadings with an olive fork.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, hopefully you have enjoyed the George Collin genius with all the various kinds of statements that he's made and made. Hopefully you have a chance to laugh and smile. I'm not one of these persons that likes to swear all over the place, but every now and then it's good in a comedic atmosphere. This has been Getting It Done, and I have been your host, Dr. Walter Dean, and hopefully you'll be able to tune in again on Friday, 4:30, where we'll continue with various different kinds of presentations. Have a good week, people.